in a special, wonderful way. We know He's able to do that, don't we? Amen. I want to pray for Brother Baker tonight, who has leg and feet pain due to the varicose veins. A lot of swelling, but he says he believes the Lord is able to take care of that situation. So we just commit that unto the Lord. We believe God can help our brother, don't we? Amen. Special unspoken prayer request. Angie McCoy sends this in. We'll just commit those things unto the Lord tonight. I want to thank the Lord for coming to my rescue on Monday. Only God could have turned a near tragedy into a blessing. He is the high priest of our confession and ever-present help in the time of trouble. So no name attached to that, but praise the Lord. So we just give God praise for that tonight. Tony Wheaton sends this in to please pray for my employer and his wife. They have sickness that the Lord knows all about. Thank you and may God bless. So we just commit those folks unto the Lord tonight. Prayer request for Catherine Payne with heart trouble and her two daughters who have seizures. So let's pray for that need tonight. We'll remember Sister Angie Brown for several special needs in her life. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Want to pray, continue to pray for Brother James Stamper, who is still in the hospital. Also pray for his granddaughter, Michelle, who was admitted today to the Johnson City Medical Center, and the doctors think that she had a stroke. So let's pray for that need. Brother Rob, we got a lot of reverb. Could you help me out on that somewhat? Want to remember tonight, Sister Nola Babb. She's in the Johnson City Medical Center for tests that they're doing on her heart. We just pray that the Lord would be with her and that family tonight as she undergoes those tests. Let's continue to pray for Sister Natalie, that the Lord would just help our sister. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need you'd like this assembly to pray about. Also, Brother Jim Maxwell, just been thinking a lot about Brother Jim. I know his heart's desire is to be in the house of God. So let's pray that the Lord would just bring our brother through with a real good recovery. I know God's able to do these things, don't you? Do you love the Lord with all your heart tonight? Why don't you give Him one more big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just sing that little chorus one more time. I keep falling in love with Him over and over just before we pray over our request tonight. Yes, I keep falling in love with Him over and over, over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over, over and over again. Brother David Swanson, would you come tonight if you would? Let's go to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all these requests. Let's invite His presence into this service tonight. Such a privilege it is, once again, to be in the house of the Lord. Brother David, God bless you, buddy.
Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, to come and gather this evening. We're so thankful, Lord, that You draw our hearts, Lord, to come here. We're thankful for the love that You've shed abroad in our hearts. This day, Lord, when love is, people are so concerned about their own personal gratification, and You said it's a time when love would be, not much love be shown, and the only ones that really have that love is the bride of Jesus Christ. So we're thankful for it, Lord, and we're thankful that You get sweeter to us as the days go by. Your word is more rich, and You reveal Yourself more to us, and we appreciate it, Lord. We've come together, Lord, now to ask that You'd meet with us. We have requests, Lord, many of them so serious, different ones, just different situations that You know all about, Lord. We don't have any ability of our own, but we can join our faith together, Lord, believing for each situation that You just meet it, Lord. May You just bless this service, Lord. May it just be a special time. May it help our hearts to receive what You'd have for us. We know, the Lord, that the preaching will be gifted, Lord. It takes a gift to minister the word, but it also takes a gift on our end, Lord, to be able to receive the word that's preached. Help us now, I pray, Lord. We commit our lives. We commit this service to You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let me make a couple of announcements for you real quickly. The library will be closed tomorrow, so remember that. And also, we had announced here Sunday morning that there was going to be some bluegrass music. Some of our brothers, very gifted in that type of music, and we're going to have that on Sunday afternoon over in the fellowship hall. But there was a conflict in a schedule. So some of the families are going to be meeting over at the pavilion on Friday evening for some fellowship. I think a barbecue, and I guess everybody's invited. Just need to see the folks that's putting it on and find out what you need to do. But all the music will be taking place at the pavilion on Friday night instead of the fellowship hall on Sunday night. Everybody understand that. The music's going to be on Friday night over at the pavilion, not Sunday. So we get that out of the way. Just some schedule conflicts, and just wanted to let you know that. Let's sing a song tonight. There'll be no announcements in heaven, I promise you that. Amen. Let's sing this song. When we all get to heaven. Aren't you glad you're on your way tonight? Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Get to heaven, what a day.
somebody say hallelujah. When we all get to heaven, I want to go and I want you to go with me. I don't want none of you left here. How many of you want to go? How many of you want everybody to go? Amen. We just rest in the promise that He's fixed a place for us, Brother Terry. You've made many good statements, but one good statement that you made the other night was, I've got a seat and my name's on it. Amen. How many of you want to feel that way with all your heart? You've got a chair at that banquet table and your name is wrote on it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing one more little. You're just singing too good tonight to quit on one. I'm going to have to have you sing one more. Let's sing It's Jesus That I Really Want to See. I'm about sick of everything I've seen here in this old world, aren't you? It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Play it, Gary. Oh, the more I see this old world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see. I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, the more I see this whole world, the less it means to me. It's Jesus I really want. Oh, can you see one more time? Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. This whole world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight as Brother Joel Brown gets ready to come and give us a song tonight. Brother Joel, if you don't have anything on your heart, Champion of Love would be good. If you don't have anything else on your heart, miss that guy when he's not here. He's having to work a lot on weekends. So let's enjoy him while he sings tonight. Love him, don't we?
Just love the Lord. Y'all just excuse me. I'm just me. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? I would like to introduce to you. In this corner of the good and the right stands a champion robed in white. His height exceeds your heavens, His weight outweighs the world. His reach this old boy, His age is evermore. He is higher than the highest. He's greater than the great. No one could ever take this crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. His reign is evermore. This arena to raise his hands in victory for you and me. But there was an angry crowd that cried, "Crucify this one who bore my crown." They gladly watched my champion go. They cried, "Crucify this one who wore their crown." They gladly watched the champion go.
Praise the Lord.
I'm just happy to be together tonight. 4th of July. Freedom. Liberty. Fireworks. Most people who talk about freedom don't know the first thing about it. They think freedom's been able to get drunk. Don't they? Freedom, they can get high on dope. That's not freedom, that's bondage. Really, the only people that are free and even understand what freedom is are those that are made free by the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm glad we understand that freedom tonight. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5. I'd like to read begin my reading with verse 6. Read down through verses 10. I'd like to speak to you again tonight on what's happening in heaven. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. So something has changed in order to give them the ability to sing a new song. Notice when it happens. When he takes the book, then their reaction is they sing a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we so love you tonight. Father, we are so thankful for this great, sublime passages in the Word of God. To know, Lord God, that they've all these years have been laying there in the book of Revelation for almost 2,000 years now. And yet, theologians tried to look at it, teachers tried to understand it, and were able to do maybe a pretty good job. But yet, with the promise in the last days that the seals would be revealed by the Lamb himself. And once he would reveal them, then the contents of what this was would truly be made known. May you speak to our hearts tonight. Father, we've come, Lord Jesus, on this Wednesday night that we might sit at the table of the King. I pray, Father, that you'd help me to get out of the way. Help the people that they can be able to pull on the gift of God. May we be able to feast together on the truths of our Father. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. What a privileged people we are to be able to live in a day when this is no longer just a scripture that would cause people to wonder about, or the contents would be read, admired, and pondered over, and thought about, when would this great thing be? What would be the influence? How will it affect people when it takes place? Will it be before the tribulation, after the tribulation, before the rapture, after the rapture? Where will the time frame of this great event transpire? And then to realize that once God gives a mystery and makes it known, you know, the scripture tells us that the things that are hidden belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children. So the revelation of what God has done, it's not just a knowledge that increases our understanding and the intellect, but it's actually part of our inheritance. So if something has transpired in this day, in tying Revelation 5 and Revelation chapter 10 together, and the book of Revelation is continuously unfolding and part of this word of God that we're living in that day, then certainly it would behoove us as the people of God to try to understand the time frame that we're living in. Truly, if we know the hour that we're in and we know what God has done and we're able to recognize what has been and what is in the future to be, it should give us a clear understanding of where we are. You see, if we stand in the pages of the Word and we don't really know, is this fulfilled or not fulfilled? Is this in the future or is this in the past? Is this in the present or does this go? The Word of God has a season. And if we don't know exactly the season or the time, there's no way we can be synchronized to the plan of God. That's actually part of being the elect of God is not only to have the Bible stuffed under our arm and say, well, we believe every word the Word says. That's not really proves that we're elect. It's having the ability to be able to synchronize of what God has done, is doing, and is going to do. And that's something in us being identified with that. Anyone that can have the ability to read can be able to pick up the Bible and say, well, the Bible says this. I really don't know when it's going to be, if it will ever be or not. But yet the elect of God have the ability, the inward ability, by the indwelling presence of God, by the new birth, that gives them something that others do not have. And that helps them to be able to know the hour, the day, the season, and the time that they are living. Now, if we are living truly in what we believe is the hour of prophecy, when we're living in a time when much of the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled, and we're living in a time when the Lamb has actually done much of what His great work is going to be, then we're living somewhere in the time frame after the mediatorship began, after Calvary, because we know that the names that were in the book could not have been fully redeemed at the cross. It was totally impossible for Him to be able to do that because the names are not yet manifested on the earth. Now there again, we know that the book, the name is written inside the book, and the book contains the names of the predestinated seed. But they cannot be fully redeemed as long as they are in book format or in book form. And we know that the book itself cannot even be called upon as long as the book itself is being opened. So there's something about even the position of the book that gives us a declaration of how God's looking at the book. So if the book is closed, then it lets us know that the names are not being called from the book. But when we see the book and the book is being opened, then it lets us know, you know what, there's something going on about the book itself. So then the book being open has something to do with the season, the time, the stage of where we are. And once again, when we look at the end of the age and see that the book is once again closed, you know what that tells us? That tells us that the contents of that book, every name in that book has been finished. And when it is done, God will actually close the book again. So there's only an element of time by which the book will truly be open. When it's open, then the mysteries of the book. You see, really, friend, whenever you and I look at it, the story of our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride, it's not really about how much you make. It's not about your parents or grandparents. Really, that has really nothing to do with your eternal heritage. Because some of our parents may not even be there. Some of our grandparents may not even be there. So that won't really have anything to do with who you are once you get there. And truly, our identity is not being a Reagan or a Whitson or a Babb or a Lehman, but our identity was actually before I was ever a Reagan. It's not about being an Orndorff. It's about being a seed of God, a predestinated seed of God, a gene of God, a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world. So then my real identity is not just about my natural birth. God actually rejects my natural birth. God rejects your natural birth. And God tells us we must be born again. So our true identity must be in this book. So then if Revelation 5 is showing us a great understanding about the book, and the mediatorship of Christ is identified with His work and association with the book, then that is important to me. Because knowing that there was a cross, oh how we love the cross, don't we? We thank God for that. But the cross within itself, it took more than the cross. Now truly the cross was a part of the program. But why did not John now see Jesus hanging on the cross in the heavens? He did not need a cross. It had now moved from the work of the cross. The cross is only once. But the mediatorship of Christ has been going on for 2,000 years. He only had to die once, but He's been a mediator for all this time. So the mediatorship actually outlasts, outendures. The cross itself was only for one short afternoon. And for that time He hangs upon the cross. It was sad. It breaks the heart. But yet He moved beyond that now. And thank God for what it did. But the mediatorship has had more power. It has been longer lasting work than the cross was ever even intended to do. And when we think of what He did, then once He moved into that, taking His blood into the presence of God, then there He is working out the divine mysteries of God, which contains what? Those names of the redeemed. So part of the mystery of God is that hidden part that the Lamb is working out while He's been waiting for every one of the names to be manifested on the earth. This could not be done at the cross. Now watch this in the first seal. Now the Lamb at the time of intercessory back here, He knows there's so many names put in there
before the foundation of the world. And as long as their names have never been manifested on earth as yet. Now remember, they're in the book, but they were in the book before the world ever began. They were in the book before there's ever an earth. But they cannot be redeemed from the book until they are manifested on earth. Now that synchronizes you with a time element. Now look, Paul could not have been redeemed in the days of Moses. No, it could have been in the days of Jeremiah. He could only have been redeemed as the allotment of that book come open. You understand why that many of us, we may have been through Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, and we wondered, why in the world did I waste all that time? Why didn't I come? God's got a season, Brother Dow. Let me tell you something. If it ain't your season to come in until 2025, you might sit around this message for 75 years. But one day that light will come across you, what you've heard for 50 years, and all of a sudden there'll be a light come on, and it was your time to be born. And God has it synchronized exactly in the heavens. Our life, friends, is timed with the pages of this book. We're not living a haphazard life. Brother Tim, we're not just here, and maybe somebody will get saved. Maybe this will happen. Maybe that will happen. It is not that way, my friend. But God has us synchronized. Your life is actually synchronized with the book of mystery, the book of redemption. Now notice how it says this, as long as them names have never been manifested on earth as yet, he had to stay there as an intercessor. Do you get it? Perfectly predestination. Oh, wait a minute. Well, what about perfectly grace? Grace comes in view after predestination sets in the alignment of God's program. Now, God knew there would be a need for grace, but before there's ever a need for grace, it was the attribute of God to decree by predestination. You understand that predestination is one of God's foremost parts of his attributes. God lives and works in the realm of election. Truly, grace is a wonderful thing. Hold on now. But you realize one day grace will come to a terminating point. Amen. One day in the eternity, we will no longer need amazing grace. Amazing grace will have fulfilled its part, but predestination, the predetermined foreknowledge and the counsel of God, will be rolling right on through eternity. But grace and mercy and forgiveness and pardon, they are elements that come around in time and the program of God. But when there is no more need for grace, the attribute of predetermining destiny, it will be living right out through eternity. Oh, hallelujah. Notice what he's doing. All right, he had to stay there because he come to die for those that God ordained to eternal life. See, by his foreknowledge, he saw them, not by his own will. His will was that none should perish. Now remember, you got to be careful when you look at the word will in the New Testament. As Peter writes this, that it was not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That is a wish or a desire, not a determinant counsel. Now, other places in the New Testament, when you look of will, it is a complete different thing. It is something that he determined with in himself. But when Peter writes this, it is not his will that any should perish. It is not that God, by his determinant counsel, I will that no one be lost. If that was his will, then there'd be no hell. Nobody would perish. Nobody would be lost. He would will they would be saved and they would all be saved. But yet he did not will that anyone would be lost. He offers them a way out. This is why he will condemn those who turn it down. Even though they're not bright, even though they are not elect, but he still offers them a way out of this pawn shop if they want it. Now, notice then, it's not his will. His will was that none should perish, but by his foreknowledge he knew who would and who would not. And that is not by your choice, but it is by your nature. Therefore, as long as there is one name had never yet been declared in the earth. Now, notice, not when the Lamb breaks the opening of the seals in March of 1963. The names are not fully manifested on the earth when the seals are open. Some of you wasn't even born. How could your name been fully manifested on the earth when you was not even yet here in a human body? Now watch this. He said the names have never been manifested and declared in the earth. Christ has to stay there as an intercessor to take care of that name. Take care of that name. But as soon as that final name, well, I love how he says this. As soon as that final name has been splashed in that Clorox or bleach. Now notice, then God actually splashes your name in the Clorox or the bleach. Well, where is that taking place? It's taking place in heaven. in the intercessory box on the throne of God. Oh, glory! When your Lamb, when your attorney is there, and whenever you come up to the consummation of the new birth, do you understand? You may not even realize what's happening. All you're feeling is that responding thing down on the earth. You're crying or you're shaking or quivering or something is moving on you. But do you understand what's taking place in heaven? Whenever you truly repented and you were born by the Spirit of God, your name spliced beneath the bleach right there. Amen. And there was something down on the earth that corresponded in your soul. Oh my. Hallelujah. Notice, as soon as that final name. So here you are represented in heaven by a name. You are not just a number. You are not just a pew warmer. You are identified by a name. And it's probably not the human name that you have. Oh, glory. Amen. It's probably not even your human name. But God looks at you, and people know you by Terry and Donnie and Jim and Manuel. But God knows you by really who you are. And that name, it was spliced beneath that bleach. Notice this. He says Christ had to stay there as intercessor to take care of that name. Now we're getting back into the very character of God. For the name is the character. Now watch, we're not just coming now to what we would call someone, but what God would call someone, and God would call them by divine character or divine nature. So then God actually identifies you before the throne of God as a name. And you are associated as a name, and there is a seed life on the earth which is identified with your original name in heaven. And when that name, when you're truly born again, that name is spliced beneath the Clorox, tell me what devil in hell can ever pull that name out of that tub of bleach. Oh, you'll make mistakes, you'll fall short of the glory of God, but if that name ever goes beneath that bleach, my friend, there can never be anything else ever pull it away. That's why foolish virgins and all them, they are not actually having this happen to them. They cannot. How can a foolish virgin's name splice in the tub of bleach and them ever go through a tribulation period? This is for the bride book. This is the bride book. This is not the guest book. You know how it is when you come to a wedding and somebody stands outside in the foyer and they have a guest book there and you come in, Dal and Donna, Orinda, you know, so and so and so and so and so. That ain't the bride and the groom signing that book. That's you. That's the visitors coming in. They're the reason you're even there. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? It's the bride and the groom that it's all about. That's the whole purpose of God. These others are allowed to come in because of His mercy. As soon as that final name has been spliced in the cross of bleach, then. Not when the Lamb opens the seals in March of 1963. But when that final name has been spliced in the corks of the bleach, then His intercessory days was over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still, let him that's holy be holy still. See? And He leaves the sanctuary. And then it becomes a judgment seat. And you mean to tell me His actions in heaven are timed with names. The birth of names. So He's got them rolled out in sequence. Now that did not happen the first age, second age, but He timed them. He wrote His album and He called the mystery of every age the truth of every age. And He put so many names in that age, and when they would hear the truth of that age, they would be identified and called to that truth. Nothing would keep them away. They can't help it because actually they are written with that truth. The same letters that make that truth make their name. Oh, glory! The same letters that make that truth make their name. Friend, this is not just something that we believe. This is something that we are. When God wrote the message of this last day, it's not just something that we act like and something we put on. It's something that is our soul. Can't you see why folks are leaving? Can't you see why folks are stumbling over this and they're stumbling over that? Folks are trying to figure out how, you know, well, this event didn't happen exactly on this day and this didn't happen on that. And Brother Ram said that wrong. And Brother Ram, and my people getting so shook, brother, that's preacher's fault. Part of that is preacher's fault for telling people he's infallible in the first place. And then when you go to telling them that, and then they go to sin, the human party shakes them plumb off the rocker. Well, glory. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. When Elijah stood there in the cave and said, I'm the only one. You're going to make him infallible? Of course not. You're going to make him a man. And God corrected him and told him, I've got 7,000 you don't even know anything about. So we're going to stop reading the Bible because Elijah said something that wasn't exactly up to par? Of course we're not going to do it. Come on, children. But you realize for those whose soul is identified with this word, they may look at 700 misunderstandings a day. You'll never drive them away from it. They just don't understand this. I can't make no sense out of this. I can't put this with that and that with that and that and that. I just can't understand it all. I've made up in my mind. I've listened to Daniel 70 weeks. There ain't no telling how many times. Every time I listen to it, I think, boy, this time I'm going to understand it. I'm going to tie that 3.5 and them 7 all together. And every time I come out of there, I think, I didn't understand it. But you know what? I ain't going to burn it. I ain't going to throw it away because I ain't going to plan on being here no way. So for 3.5 years, 7 years, 700 years, I'm going to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. It don't really affect me one way or the other. Now watch. Then God allocates so many names with so much truth. There'll be others that'll come, that'll catch them. But it's like the frog, it's like the spider, it's like the net. It'll go out and catch them. Some will stay in around it for years and years. And the more they study, the more disinterested they become. And then questions come out. I don't understand this. How can that tie with that? Oh, he said this over here and he said that. Oh, something wrong somewhere. Oh, maybe I should go back to the Baptist church. Maybe you should. Maybe I should go back to the Pentecostal. Maybe you should. Go on and leave us alone. Just go on. If you're a Methodist soul, go on back to the Methodist church. If you got a Baptist soul, go on back to the Baptist. If you got a Pentecostal soul, but if you've got a soul of God that was in God, hang around. Because we're fixing to leave this place. Amen. Now watch. When does the sanctuary turn smoky? Watch this and souls in prison. Remember, the sanctuary becomes smoky. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. There's no more mercy when the Lamb takes the book. That's it. That's all of it. Now notice this. November the 10th, 1963. So here we are in November after the seals is preached in March. And this still hasn't happened yet. Now here he is, soul's in prison, and he's looking at it, and it looks like it could have been going on right then. But that's all it was. It just looked like it. Friends, we have to be careful when we're looking at the words of a prophet. If he said looks like it, we better say looks like it instead of absolutely. Come on now. A lot of the discrepancies have been made by us and by preachers. Taking statements and leaving out looks like it or could be or possibly or perhaps. If a prophet says perhaps, we better say perhaps. Because if not, we're going to make a mess. Oh, I wish somebody preached with me tonight. Now, notice there's no more mercy when the Lamb takes the book. That's it. That's all of it. And it looks a whole lot like it could be now. Don't stop there, though. Maybe we have another day. Maybe today is that day. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tonight is that last time. Maybe this is the last year. Uh-oh. So it wasn't then and it wasn't the next day. Or well, maybe. Let's say maybe. Everybody say maybe with me now. Maybe. What does maybe mean? I ain't too smart, but I know maybe means maybe. It don't mean absolutely. It's not thus saith the Lord. It means maybe, which is possibly, perhaps. Now notice this. Maybe this is the last year. I don't. Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but if he did, neither do you, you knothead. Some of these preachers that think they know it. If God didn't show Elijah, he ain't going to show some of us. There's no need for us to know it anyway. The thing is just be ready. That's the thing. I don't know, friends. I'm telling you, I don't know. It'll never be told me. So those who say Brother Branham knew, they are lying. And if you say you know, you're lying too. That ain't none of your business. It's not for us to know the day nor the hour. It's for us to be ready every day and every hour. Now notice again, the next paragraph. When God takes that life's name, why is he saying name over and over again instead of person? Because God there is not dealing with the person. The person is on the earth. But God has your representation there before him constantly in the form of a book. How can I be up there and be down here at the same time, the same way Jesus was? No man hath ascended up to heaven save he which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in it. How can Donna be on the earth and the true Donna be in heaven at the same time? I don't know, but I am. And I ain't got a split personality either. Amen. One of these days I'm going to be split all right. When my whole body's going to be changed, that's when it's going to be split up. But you realize, what's he focusing on? My name. My name. So it cannot be the corruptible name of Donald Lee Reagan Jr. It must be who I really am. So he's identifying, solely identifying all that I am. All that I'll ever be. Oh Lord. All that I am. All that I'll ever be is identified by my name. So if he can get my name under the blood, I will be saved forever. That's eternal security. It ain't your name in the church book. We don't even have one here at Happy Valley. As far as I know, if we do, I ain't never seen it, which means my name ain't on it either. So it's not your name on this book if we had one. It's your name on that book. What? So it's not a bunch of kids now around the throne of God. It's a book. It's a book. Unlike me and you, we had to wait till our kids was born to make a family album. You know how it was with your young ones, you know, when you went to the hospital and they all looked the same to me. I dedicated them. So what did it look like? I said, baby. Just a baby. Oh, yours looks just like yours and yours and yours. And now, Brother Joel, they may be a different color, but the rest of y'all look pretty much the same. Just a boy or a girl, you know, they just look like a baby. But you go and you take a picture of, you know, here they're 5 days old and then yours are 10 days old. And then, you know, the more you get, the less pictures you take. Seem to be that way, the more of them you get. And then you put it all together. Oh my, look, he's so little, there, little tiny head, look at that. But God, before the foundation of the world, he's up there thumbing through his family album. Oh, oh, my little Gene Moses. Oh goodness, look at Paul. Ooh, there's Donnie, there's Fred, there's Joe, there's Barbara, there's Carol, there's all my young ones. Oh, I love my kids. I can't wait to see them. I can't wait to see them. And all they were and all they'll ever be was identified in what? A name. A name. When you think of your children and you got 3 or 4 of them, how many ever you got, and whenever you speak their name, there's something about who they are that is the embodiment. Oh, glory! The embodiment of that name. And when you think of Charity or you think of whoever it is, Jonathan, and you think of their name and you think of what they are, you think of their ups and their downs and their ins and their outs. Why? Because you know them by that name. They are the embodiment of that name. Can you imagine the Eternal was able to write down his attributes and he called them from his own nature and he gave them the embodiment of everything that he was, the fullness of his attributes that would be manifested in an element of time. And when he called their name, he thought of all they were, all they could be, all their potential. Oh my. But when God takes that last name, not person. But when God takes that last name and redeems it from that book of life. That's all of it. So God takes that name from the book of life. How can that be? When the embodiment of that name reaches cells and atoms in a capsule of time on earth, then when you come from form of attribute and you take the breath of life, oh glory, then your representation is on the earth. You might be 5, you might be 10, 12, whatever the age would be, that you'd come to a spot that you could truly come to a recognition. Then God turns to that last page, the last name on the last page on the lower right hand corner. And that name reaches a place and God pulls that name from the book of life and drops it down into the bleach. And when it does, the correspondent to that name is on the earth. Maybe it's a young person that just got the Holy Ghost up in the Ohio camp. Amen. Amen. Maybe it'll be somebody coming up next week up at the Lima camp. Who knows where it'll be? But finally, one day, that name. Now remember, God ain't got boys and girls around the throne. God's dealing with a book. But in that book are names. Those names don't have ifs and perhaps and possibles and all kinds of variables. They are names, spoken attributes of God. Glory to God. But when God takes that last name and redeems it from that book of life, that's all of it. There can be no more anyhow. There can't be no more anyhow. That's all. It's finished. Question answer is 64. After the bride is raptured, will any of the foolish virgin be saved? Or will they all be lost? No, see, everything will be finished for the Gentile church when the bride is taken from the earth. The Spirit of God leaves. The Spirit of God leaves. Now, can you imagine being on the earth as foolish virgins, as message people who miss the rapture with no Holy Ghost? Now you see, for those of you who have it, you can't hardly comprehend it. But for them who don't, it won't be much different. It won't be much different than what they're doing right now. Because they're coming to church or doing this and doing that and that without the Spirit of God. The difference is at least they have the opportunity now. But then the opportunity will be taken. With who? The bride. You see, once he consummates her, then the mercy seat is closed for the Gentiles. Amen. Oh. Notice this. He that is filthy still. He that is righteous still. He that is holy still. In other words, the sanctuary becomes smoky, where the attorney stands to plead the case. Christ leaves the sanctuary. His day of mediatorial is over. The rapture comes. Now notice how this is bang, 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 bang. That body must be on the throne of God as long as there's one of his bride members on the earth not yet redeemed. So once he walks out from the attorney position, the change must follow immediately. He couldn't leave you here 24 hours without a mediator. Come on now, be honest. He'd do good to leave some of us here for half a day. He'd do good to leave some of you here 2 hours without a mediator. Your old stinking flesh is a sorry and rotten and no count, no good like mine. Well, I'm going to preach and say amen. I see already. Amen, Brother Donnie. Amen, Brother Donnie. Preach, Brother Donnie. I'm with you, Brother Donnie. We all need a redeemer. And somehow he will synchronize it by the preaching of the word. My, we might have one of the most powerful services we've ever had in our life on a Sunday morning. Not realizing that'll be the last sermon we'll ever preach. Maybe Brother Terry will preach it or one of these other brothers will preach it. And we'll leave not knowing that on Monday it's all sequenced in the time cycle of God. That the Lamb will leave the intercessory throne at Monday at our time. As we'd say Monday at noon our time. And that sermon will tide you over till about 6 o'clock on Monday afternoon. Hallelujah. And the Lamb will leave the throne of God and his position as high priest. Coming now, the King is also a sign our body changes on the way. Oh, Oh my. Christ leaves the sanctuary. His day of mediatorial is over. The rapture comes. He leaves from the sanctuary. He goes forth and takes the book of redemption. Now wait a minute. Here Brother Branham is putting the book of redemption in question, answer 64. The book of redemption being identified with the rapture. Can't you understand there is a difference in taking the book and loosing the seven straps on the back? Now you're opening that book where the names can be called in your age. Now the attorney holds these documents in his hands from not a closed book, but an open one. So the attorney is watching these really close. He's going down through name by name by name, calling this one, that one, sanctified, justified, redeemed. And the attorney holds this very close as any lawyer that's got your case close at hand. And he is your confidant where you can go in and tell him things. And there's things that you can tell an attorney that even the judicial court system cannot take from you. Do you understand as a pastor that I have more rights with my parishioners than does a lawyer? You could go out and kill somebody. You could rob a bank. You could do this and that and the other. And the courts of law cannot make me stand and tell what you've told me in that office. I have a closer relationship with you as a pastor than what a lawyer does. They cannot make me tell any of that. Even the corruption of the law of our land recognizes there's something there. Well, can you imagine you can go to your attorney and say, Lord, I lied. I said this wrong and I said wrong and I did that wrong and I did that wrong. And the devil, these big ears, flop his ears saying, what'd you say? What'd you say? Oh, what do you just say you done something wrong? And our lawyer looks at it and said, this is between me and him. This, glory! This ain't got nothing to do with you. You get out of here, devil. I am his lawyer. Hallelujah. We have privileges with our lawyer. You know as well as I do that there are people who kill other people. And they sit there and tell their lawyer, I did it. I blew his brains out. And that lawyer will know as sure as the day is long when they're representing that client, they're representing a guilty man. But they also know if they can present the case, the jury sitting there may determine if that man is innocent. If somehow they can make the evidence look faulty. Well, I'll tell you one thing, there ain't no crookedness about my lawyer. He don't have to do no under the table stuff. He don't have to buy nobody out. But I'll tell you one thing, he's got the ability to do. He's got the ability to take all the evidence that's against me, and he looks back up there at that original name and say, that's funny, I ain't got one mark against that name. Oh, I don't have one mark against that name. All I know about that name is it's one of my faults. It's one of my attributes. There's no sin that can be laid to that name. That name has been spliced beneath the blood. I plead his case. So my attorney walks before Spirit God and says, Your Honor, sir, I recommend this case be thrown out. I searched the books. Come back to the beginning. I couldn't find nothing against that name. And the devil sent a verse against it. I know I made him do that. I talked him right into it. And because you talked me into it, I repented and asked the Lord to forgive me for doing it. He forgive me and then gonna make you answer for what I've done, devil. Now brother, that's justice. That's real divine justice. The devil talks you into doing it. Jesus forgives you and remits you and then lays it over on the devil and says, now you're going to answer for it. Now watch how this works. The attorney stands there to plead the case. Christ leaves the sanctuary. Now watch. Christ leaves the sanctuary. His day of mediatorial is over. Christ leaves the sanctuary. His mediatorial is over. The rapture comes! He leaves the sanctuary. His mediation is finished. The very next event is the rapture. It must be. It can't be a week later. It cannot be 3 months later. It must be immediately. He leaves from the sanctuary. Notice the first thing he does. He leaves from the sanctuary. Goes forth and takes the book of redemption. And claims. Now he's not calling names from the pages of the book. Now he's come to claim his redemptive rights. Now friends, this did not transpire when the seals was broken. And claims everything he redeemed. Then there's no mediatorial work. How many understands that? I guarantee you there's a lot of folks in this message that don't. That's why they're so confused on the mediatorial part, on the seal part. Oh, you say, why is it important? I guarantee it's important for us to be able to understand where we are and to approach our Lord. Yeah, he said to the seals, I believe it was, Christ come forth to claim his mediatorial work. Now, I love this one. Yeah, I know we've read it several times, but Christ the mystery. Now, did you see the seals? When he was in his mediatorial work back there, redeeming. But someday, he comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed. And all that's in this book would be him. For that's so when we look at the book and we think the book of redemption, and then we look at the seven seals being torn off and we look and think the contents in that book is a white horse rider. The contents in the book is a black horse. That's what you think the contents of the book of redemption, the book of mystery. That's an element of time. This book was written before the foundation of the world. He's not coming to redeem the white horse rider. What is it? His diary. His family album. Why do your sisters, maybe some of your brothers, but more than likely probably the women folk here, why did you have a diary and have a little tiny lock on it with a little T90 key? Because you had a nosy brother, a nosy sister. That you didn't want him reading your deepest secrets and always on the inside. So what did you do? You wrote it inside your diary and you put your little T90 lock and your little T90 key and you hid it away. That's before your old age struck and you could remember where you put the key. Oh my, when something would happen, what would you do? You'd take your little book and go out behind the house or go in your secret place up in the attic somewhere and then you'd open the book in the mystery, in the secret, and then you'd begin to write down the events of the day. Oh, I saw the cutest boy today. He smiled at me and my heart raced real fast and I felt real funny in my stomach. There's a virus going around like that if you didn't know it. You know it. Oh, you wrote that down and you locked it up and you sealed it because you didn't want your brother knowing about it. You didn't want mama knowing about it. You didn't want nobody. Well, the Lord God wrote a diary and he put a lock around it and he locked it up. Hallelujah! And when he got back in the mysterious part of his mind, he opened up that diary. And when he did, that was his love gifts. The bride, love gifts come out of every page. She leaped right off the pages into his arms.
Oh, glory. Everything is mystery. All that's in this book would be him. For that's the believer. Well, how can it be both? Because they're inseparable. It's him. One of these days, if you don't know it yet, you're going to understand. That part of you that you call a believer, it's not really you anyway. It's him in you that gives you the ability to believe. It's him, the seed, the word. The older I get, the more I look like my daddy. Those of you that knew my daddy. Brother Tracy, when he went down to my daddy's funeral and he come up and told me there at the funeral home and told me a few times later, he said, that looked awful. I woke up her and that was you laying there in that casket. Well, how can that be? Because my father's DNA was unlocked in the womb of my mother. And a mixture of 23 chromosomes from her and 23 from my father. And many of the attributes I got from my mother may be inward, and I don't look like the Schultz. I don't look like my mother. Yet my facial features took after my daddy, except for my daddy when he passed away. He was black-headed and I had more gray hair than he did. Thank you all. Tokens of your love for my work. Oh my, how come y'all don't look like him? How come you don't look like him, Brother Dan? Why don't you look like him, Brother Dave? Because the mystery of my father's DNA was not unloaded in you. Oh, don't you understand why the foolish version of the church and even those around the message that come and go and in and out and up and down and they don't understand this and they don't understand that. Can't you understand why they cannot understand it? The Father's DNA was not uploaded in their soul. Oh, glory to God. But if it was, they'll look right at that word and they'll be like Peter and them when Jesus said, you want to go away too? And Peter said, where would we go? After this, you've got the words of eternal life. Lord of mercy. All that's in this book will be him. For that's the believer. The words in the book. And the word is him. And all that's in that, he come forth of this book of redemption. Whose names are written on the book before the foundation of the world. When he was slain as a lamb. So a name splashes. Another one splashes. Another one splashes. Watson souls in prison again. You see in this book that was redeemed. It was the book of redemption. Everything that he had redeemed was written in that book. All that he died for was written in the book. And he could not leave his mediatorial seat until he had thoroughly redeemed. And he couldn't redeem it at the cross. Neither could he redeem it at Jeffersonville when the seals was opened. Jeffersonville is not the room of reconciliation. Jeffersonville was not the throne room. Happy Valley is not the throne room. Thank God. These names can only fully be redeemed in the throne room before the judge by our attorney. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. He couldn't redeem it at the cross because they were predestined in the Lamb's Book of Life. He had to stay on there to make intercession until that last person was not saved, but finished. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. When the last one is saved, there'll not be one extra. It'll just be so many. When that last one is brought in, the body of Christ is completed. The rapture will come. Now don't misunderstand me. The signs of the times, the egg-shaped cars, a woman president, a woman ruling the nation, all those sort of things. Those are things we look at. Those are things we beware of. The Antichrist, increase of homosexuality, beauty increase of women, all those things. That's on the earth. But this is in heaven. The Lord ain't looking out at Los Angeles and saying, all right, now this year there's 387 million homos, or last year there's 287.2333333 million. So now it's getting close. The way he measures it's getting close is list of the names on the back of the page. You think the Lord looks at Fox News? You think the Lord's got an app on his phone that gives him latest news updates? Supreme Court has ruled Obamacare's constitution. Think the Lord went all to pieces? Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. Greatest increase in tax in history. Oh Lord, what am I going to do? Never even batted an eye. But about that same time, Ohio camp was going on. No doubt there's some seed that there need to be birthed by the breath of God. That's what moved heaven. It wasn't Fox News. It wasn't the latest from this judge or that judge or the mayor down there or the county sheriff done that. That ain't what moves God. What moves God is that book of redemption. Notice, I love this in verse 11. So we're longing for that day to get out of this place where we're at now, for it's certainly a pest house. Whew. We know that. Full of sickness, and the church said. Amen. Disease, and the church said. Amen. And disappointments, and the church said. Amen. And troubles. Amen. And my, who would want to stay here when there's such a better place to go? Same message, paragraph 12. So we're trying to get every soul saved that Jesus can come. So we're not trying to get with GM and Ford and see if they can develop an egg-shaped car. So we're not trying to watch a Virginia Tech up here and make sure that they get the wireless car with the people playing the checkerboard and all that. We're not trying to help everybody do all that. We're trying to get the souls saved so Jesus can come. I'm not devaluing those things, friend. Those things aren't fun, but that's not what God looks at. Notice this. We're trying to get every soul saved. Not every soul to be bride. Do you understand? The foolish virgins must also be saved. I know some preachers are so stuck on themselves. They think they're only called to preach to bride. The truth of it is they don't even know if they're bride themselves. We're not saved by knowledge. We're saved by faith. I may win way many more foolish virgins to Christ than I do bride. I have no idea. But if I can get them saved, I'll consider that a great honor. If I can get foolish virgins saved and they will be saved and one day they come inside that city and if I am bride and they walk up to me one after another and say, thank God for telling me the truth. I didn't understand what you were saying, but thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for telling me the truth. You think I'm going to be mad? You think I'm going to be aggravated, Brother Jack, because them souls are there? No, sir. I'll be so happy because that's the way my Lord looks at them. He don't want them to be lost. Why should I? Listen how the coming of the Lord is so synchronized with that book. He cannot come until the last one that has the name on the book of life that was put there before the foundation of the world. When that name is called, that's the last one then. He came to redeem, to bring back. Redeemers bring back. And when he brings that last one in, he's sitting at the right hand of God. Notice when this is. April 1964. Sitting at the right hand of God tonight. Uh-oh. A year after the seals has been opened, and according to Brother Branham, he was still on the throne of God tonight. Come on, church. Doing his mediator work, and when that last soul is saved that was redeemed and seen and known by God before the foundation of the world, when that last soul is saved, that closes. What opens it when he's calling? What closes when he's finished? Those of you that still read books anymore, I mean, you know, paper books, you'll never be able to understand the contents of that book fully unless you open it. Even if you've got an e-book, Kindle, whatever it is you read from, you've still got to start.
And then when you read through the first and the second and the third and the 127th page, 318 and however big it is, and you come to the end of it, and it says, and Jesus and the bride lived happy ever after. And when the last name is redeemed, now somebody may come and say, don't tell me. I've done read that book, I can tell you. Sister Joy, don't tell me what's in that book. I want to read it for myself. But you see, Jesus has foreknowledge. So he can jump from the front to the back. And he knows how many's in there. So when the last one gets finished, that closes the book. So now he's no longer dealing with an open book. No need for the attorney then to take the case or the accounts of judgment to the Father. So he closes the book. The cases are finished. The names are all redeemed. And what does it do? That, can you think of it, friends? It's not when Los Angeles is cast into the sea. It's not whenever the Democrats are this or the Republicans are that. It's when that last name, all of, you understand? All of the whole book is associated around people and names. Oh. When that last soul is saved, that closes the book. Then the Lamb comes out and takes the book. So you're the Father. All's in his hand. And the attorney redeems the last name in the book. And the Lamb steps out from the hidden part of God's throne. And he walks out before the Father. I want my book. And this line is territorial. A lamb ain't very territorial. You can push a ram around, your lamb around, you kick him and he'll bleat and all that sort of thing. But whenever that lion steps out, shakes his mane. Down on the earth, the lioness. What is it? Her mate. Glory to God. And the dead in Christ shall arise. Why? Their mates call. Glory to God. Remember Brother Benham being out west and the storm coming through and it separated the cow elk from the bull and all that sort of thing and the wolf and all that. And when the storm passed through and Brother Benham said he heard the wolf over there, he got separated from his mate. What was it? The storm. It was the fall of Adam, the storm of life. It separated you. Hallelujah! It separated you from that original word. But what's been going on down through the word, he's been giving forth a call. But at the last day, your mate will give that call of the resurrection. Death will have to let you go. If they're buried in the catacombs, if you're buried in the sea, you will hear your mate calling. He will roar. All of a sudden, Paul will get up. Peter, and the pride will get together. Oh, glory to God. Listen to this, and I'll close. But the man said, let's think. What if it's like this? Maybe there's a little boy in here tonight, or a little girl, born over in Seattle, Washington. Now that book holds her name.
He come to redeem those names that was on that book, and redeem means bring back from where it fell from, the human race. She was fell. But she can't accept it now. She's too young. So listen, what'll happen to the church? The church will slug right along. Just play along. We'll have meetings and so forth till that last person is brought in. Amen. Then that book is closed. Amen. Brother Elkin, you believe you might go up out of that camp in Ohio and preach five times and sweat and pray for all them people? And there might be one whose name is in that book. No doubt we'll continue to have meetings at the church and preach as well all over the world. We'll have meetings and we'll go on, but somewhere it'll come to a time to where it will be stopped and there may be but one. Maybe it's a little black boy over in Africa. Maybe a little Indian boy in India. A little Chinese boy. A little boy from Japan. We'll go right along. We'll hear the word. We'll live our lives. We'll go right along growing in God, growing in understanding, multiplying. We may wait a year, 2 years, 3 years till that little boy, that little girl gets old enough and the Spirit of God goes to quicken in her heart and she's able to perceive it's the last name on the last page. Millions of them are waiting on that little Chinese girl. And finally, she's able to receive it. She bows there in a home church. Just a little church there in China somewhere, in a little home meeting. Illegal to have. And she may kneel down somewhere and just fold her little hand, something like this, and go to praying in Chinese. And all of a sudden, she receives Christ. She didn't hear it. The preacher preaching didn't hear it. Maybe we didn't hear it. But in heaven, the book was closed. Let's stand. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen to this in the bridge. He leaves the throne of an intercessor as a slain lamb to be a lion king. To bring the world to judgment who's rejected his message. He's not a mediator. Remember the Old Testament teaching now is where Harry. When the blood went off the mercy seat. What was it? Judgment seat. When the lamb slain walked forward from eternity out of the Father's throne and took his rights. It was a judgment seat. Then he become not a lamb, but a lion king. And he calls for his queen to come stand by his side. Whew. What's happening in heaven? Names. Names. Jesus don't sit there and wait for the daily report of the USA Today and the latest app on his iPhone. Fox News said this, and Obamacare, and Romney care, and I don't care, do you care? Who cares? It's bankrupt anyway. Yeah. Brother Donnie, who do you hope wins presidency? Whoever's supposed to bring us to total ruination and annihilation? If it's Obama, so be it. If it's Obama, his wife, his mother, his grandma, if it's Hillary, I don't care who it is, as long as it's done so we can get out of here. Because I've got real health care. Praise the Lord. With this health care, I ain't got no deductible either. Takes care of crowns. Not these kind. These kind. Takes care of bad blood. As a matter of fact, in the chains, it removes all blood from my body and gives me a transfusion of entire soul. You love him. What's happening in heaven? Then my friends, do you understand what our part is on the earth then? The man who's doing the redeeming before he left said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. Brother Bam said, in other words, he's telling you, ask me to do what I know needs to be done. Now don't raise your hand, but how many of you pray that God will send anointed ministers, that God will send men in the darkest parts of the earth to be able to reach those last ones? Well, if you shouldn't, you should. If you shouldn't, rather. If you don't, you should. Why? He wants you to ask him to do what he knows he's supposed to do. What if that little girl born on Seattle, Washington, what if that would have been you? And there'd be thousands over the earth ready, crying, longing to go. But it just so happened God timed your birth to where yours was the last name on the bottom of the page. And I would serve him for 50, 60, 70 years. I would be so homesick I couldn't hardly stand it. But I would have to wait on you. Because you was a little boy. Or a little girl. I'm glad he did it that way. Because he could have put me on that last page. Is that a father's love or what? So he just disperses them all out. Brother Jack will go on. We'll have meetings. We'll pray for the sick. Mine will say, God, ain't nothing happening. What's going on? Lord, it seemed like we're just kind of slugging along. But we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do. I'd rather slug than not do nothing. Come on, brother. I'm going to slug along. I'm going to move right along. We're going to have meetings and so forth. If you notice, he didn't say they'd stay home. They will be having meetings. Praise God. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus. So many, many years ago, July the 4th, 1776, our founding fathers, they had a great declaration. This nation of ours founded supposedly on liberties and freedoms, and Lord, we know what your prophet said about democracy, about it being all sales. It's a good practice, good thinking of it, but it can never work. Truly, if our fathers, founding fathers, could see what our nation has become, they'd never believe it. Then we look and turn at this message and see if Brother Branham could come back and be allowed to see what it's been turned into. I wonder how heartbroken he'd be as well. But Father, we know that there's an elect. We're so grateful for that. So Lord Jesus, we pray. We don't know how many's left. It's not really our business to know. But we just pray that you'll anoint men to go forth. For we know the seed comes through the body. The seed cannot pass through a book. People can read a book and they can hear it. But yet, Lord God, we know that Philip and the eunuch was a very testimony of a New Testament expression, how that a person reading a book cannot get the full understanding of the seed life. Because Brother Brown tells us that the seed was in Philip. It was not in the prophecies that he was reading. So people can listen to tapes of Brother Branham. They can read books. They can do all of that. But the seed comes through the body. Lord, I pray for your servants. Strengthen your brothers that go in the jungles. Strengthen our brothers, Lord God, that go into Africa, Trinidad, and different parts of the world. Not only that, Lord, one of the worst places that needs missionaries and people that are burdens here is our own nation. Lord God, may you lead us to that last one or ones till their names have been fully redeemed, splashed beneath the bleach. Lord God, help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. I ask your blessings on your people tonight. May we understand what real freedom and real truth really is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our liberty does not go back to a statue that stands in New York Harbor. But our liberty goes back to a cross. It's not a woman hanging there, but it's a man. That man doesn't have a torch in his hand. But he has nails in his hands. He's not standing in a beautiful harbor of New York, but surrounded by a pool of blood. People aren't screaming adorations and praise, but they hear from his long voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. They didn't know it was the Statue of Liberty. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for purchasing my salvation, that I could go free, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear God. Bless your children. Heal those that are sick among us. Encourage those, Lord, that are weary and down. We pray for those, Lord, that need a touch in their body and their heart. Grant it, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Can we just raise our hands to him for just a moment now before we go? Oh, don't you appreciate his grace to your heart as an individual? Not to us as a church so much. Not to us as a move, but to you as an individual. God's mercy. Setting you free. Hallelujah. Not only free from smoking, free from drinking, all that. But the main freedom you needed was freedom from yourself. Freedom from that old nature that you were married to by the natural birth. That was your husband that had the rule over you. Amen. But Jesus died so that you could be free. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Let's just worship him, little saints, before we go. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. And whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for what's going on in heaven tonight, Lord. And we thank you that we have had that reciprocating part upon the earth. It's going on in our hearts and our lives. And we're grateful for it tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Brother Louis, would you come? Take the service. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing for us the old rugged cross. Made a difference. Let me appreciate his grace to you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound with heartache and defeat. I will praise him forever. The difference for me. Yes, the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. For the cross.
and the old rugged cross, it made the difference. Aren't you glad for it? In a life bound for heartache and so much defeat, oh, we're gonna praise Him forever and ever. For the cross made the difference. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. Oh, but I'll praise Him forever and ever. The difference for me. God bless you, church. Service this weekend. Yes, the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. Filled with aimless desperation, without hope, walked the shade of a man. In a hand with a nail print stretched down, just one touch, and I knew.